I'm Karen Given. We all know what racism in sports sounds like, right? It sounds like the late Don Imus on his radio show back in 2007.
Oh, some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and
some hardcore hoes.
That's a nappy-headed hoes there, I'm going to tell you that now.
But two sociologists recently published a study that looked at a decade's worth of March Madness broadcasts, and they found that sometimes racial bias sounds like this.
That's a tough matchup for J.J. Redick on the glass. Redick not known as a rebounder. Tasman Mitchell, much stronger, bigger, and more athletic.
Redick. I mean, of course, we can highlight some of these bigger comments that most people would consider to be racist.
That's Dr. Rashawn Ray. He teaches sociology at the University of Maryland, College Park.
But instead, what we were highlighting in many ways is implicit bias and the subtle ways that race actually operates when it comes to talking about some of these historical stereotypes about what it means to be Black and physically superior and at the same time intellectually inferior, and on the other hand, what it means to be lighter skinned or white.
Dr. Ray and his co-author, Dr. Stephen Foy of the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, transcribed 52 men's college basketball broadcasts, including 11 championship games. They were looking at the ways broadcasters talk about players of different skin tones and whether racial bias was at play.
Are people talking about the size and height of darker skin tone players because they're actually larger, or are they talking about them in that way because of stereotypes about them being larger?
So they tracked all of the data about the actual size and skill of the players.
Points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, fouls per game. We took into account all of those factors, and we still found that skin tone and race in a lot of ways was the most significant factor determining how commentators talk about players.
We've talked about Matt Howard and how crafty he is. Jim Shyer is much the same way as a perimeter player. Knows how to use that height at 6'5 very effectively to get into the lane.
So, crafty, you found that this is often a word used to describe white players, right?
Yes, I mean, most definitely. I mean, when we went into this, we thought that we would see commentators talking a lot about just the raw intellect of players. But we didn't find that at all. I mean, there were a few instances where they talked about their intellect, and oftentimes that was directly linked to their GPA. It was a very small percentage of our sample. What we found more so were these subtle ways that they talked about craftiness. This clip talked about two players. And then, interestingly, then talked about how this player supposedly uses their craftiness to actually do something physical. I mean, this is the way it comes out for lighter-skinned players. If it was a darker-skinned player, they wouldn't have mentioned craftiness. Instead, they would have talked about their ability to jump up and get the rebound in some kind of physical way. And so here it is, the same action, something simple like jumping for a rebound, and all of a sudden it completely transposes the way that players are talked about.
Okay, so this is from a little later in that same broadcast where the two white players were called crafty. Here's how announcers described a Black player.
Here comes streaky, sneaky Willie Beasley. A terrific offensive rebounder for his size. And he just weaseled his way to the basket.
So I'm assuming that is something you would have flagged as being a difference.
Absolutely.
When you hear the words weaseled out and sneaky,
yeah,
I mean, the connection that it has to thinking about kind of non-human type of behaviors, kind of weaseled out, it's more animalistic, right? It has this criminal, sneaky element to it. And these are the ways that we hear darker-skinned players talked about in ways that we don't hear lighter-skinned players talked about.
Of course, none of this is new.
It became plain as I was growing up and more African-American athletes became prominent and entered the sports. White players are gritty. White players are smart. African-American athletes have, quote-unquote, natural abilities.
That's Only a Game analyst Charlie Pierce.
In basketball, if somebody did a remarkable move that nobody'd seen before, it was dismissed as playground stuff. When Bob Cousy did it, it was genius.
If you look at white players as more imbued with intelligence than Black players, who are you going to give the jobs for coaching and general manager to when they retire? We see that answer before us.
That's journalist Derek Jackson again. Derek says these stereotypes play out when Black people apply for other jobs, too.
And that ultimately has massively damaging effects across all of American society. there probably is not a black man alive today who has not at one point or another been asked if they're an athlete. It's as if we can do nothing else but catch a ball or dunk it or run around a track.
I teach a race, gender, and sports class at Penn State.
This is Dr. Amira Rose Davis again.
And every semester without fail, the non-athlete black kids in my class tell stories of how many times it was assumed that they're athletes. I had one student particularly who was 6'2", black kid, black guy, who said he doesn't have a week on campus, and he was a junior. He doesn't have a week on campus in which there is not some assumption about a team that he belongs to. And so what happens is the messages that are then sent in places of higher education or elite private schools at the high school level or even at the youth level is that if you're black and in these educational spaces, it must be because of athletics and not because of your mind, right? So the other tragedy of that story of the young man I was talking about is he talks about how their face fell and the conversation always seemed to fizzle out once they realized he was not actually on the football team. And the message that he received, that his value to the university, his value to his white classmates, his value of even occupying the space of Penn State University was tied only to what he could have produced on the field. Talk about damaging. That's damaging.
We tend to put sports on such a pedestal that white Americans think it's a compliment to be asked if you were an athlete. Actually, no. I might want to run a bank. I might want to be a scientist. I write about science and I give book talks. And I got my answers, but people were like, how did you get involved?